And now, the sci-fi fans all across the globe have been waiting for. It's the MTMV main card with your man, The Voice, as always. In the opposite corner, my mano y mano, my verbal sparring partner, Philly's finest, Wiltress Ruff. What's going on, Ruff?
Man, what a day. But it's smoke clock, and we here. You know, technical difficulties and all. We know y'all see it, but we don't even care because we excited. To my left, to the right, whatever you're seeing, the man, the myth, the legend, the man with his own t-shirt. Very spiffy today, sir. How you doing, boys?
Oh, fighting a good fight in it as well. I planned on putting on something a little more appropriate for the show, but I just ran out of time, so I kept on my work shirt.
It's all good, man. You fresh. Like, you about to talk about some great combat sports fights and then go do a sermon, so that's perfect.
All right.
We got some great things to get into today. A couple of good fights, championship fights, actually. And it seems like everything on this docket today is pretty fierce. It's a lot of rivalries going on here that I don't think we're completely ready for. First, let's go ahead and get into KOs and low blows because we got some great things to get into. Boys, you ready?
Was yesterday Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday?
Technically, I don't believe it was. I think this is the day of the celebration.
Actually, it was. It was the day of celebration and his actual birthday.
Oh, yeah, it is the 15th. I'm sorry. My bad. Whatever. Let's get into it. So, Better Bev and Callum Smith, we talked about this last week. Callum Smith came into this bout stating he had done his homework. He knew exactly what was going on. And he was ready to not only defeat Arthur, but he was ready to win that title. Boys, I don't think Callum did his homework. Because in a seventh round stoppage, it was argued that it probably should have been stopped before that, the way that it had been going. Beterbiev not only defeated Callum Smith, but he ultimately possibly set up a bout with Bivol, something that we've all been waiting to see. Now, you spoke about this previously. Boys, give us your thoughts on the aftermath of that fight, and what are we looking forward to in this showdown between these two great fighters that is most likely coming up?
Well, as far as the aftermath of the fight, I mean, Beterbiev had time off between fights. That's what I was most concerned about. I wasn't as concerned about Callum Smith's time off because he was younger, but his time off definitely hurt him more than Beterbiev's did. Beterbiev was just like, look, I am him. I'm he, whatever you want to call it. That's what it is. I'm the man. Set up the deal so that I can show that I'm the man. What was crazy about it was Dan Rayfield posted the fight cards, and I saw a lot of rounds for Smith, and I was like, how do you do that? Why? How you win that round? And Smith was saying the same thing. He was like, this is laughable. I get it, because every single round I gave to the champ, I mean, he dominated, absolutely dominated. Not just dominated, but dropped Smith for the first time in his career, and obviously then stopped him for the first time in his career, something that Canelo could not do. So he came out smelling like roses, and Bob Arum set things up. He was like, hey, it's not a done deal yet for Bivol. You know, because they wanted to do it in April, which I wouldn't have been mad about. I was like, that's too soon. You know, we got Ramadan. Ramadan's going to happen. Then he'll train for 3 months, and we'll do it in the summer. So, yeah, I am looking forward to this fight. So I'm really looking forward to it because it does determine who is number one at 175. And with how good Beterbiev looked after his time off versus how pedestrian Bivol looked after his time off. Oh man, I got to see this fight, see who comes out on top. You know, whether or not Bivol's jab will keep, because Beterbiev can be hit, and he's shown that. That's been a big issue, or I should say, a big chink in his armor. Does Bivol have what it takes to hurt him and to keep him off. It's I can't wait. I cannot wait to see this fight.
Now I gotta ask, Voice, because I don't think many of us thought that it would be a seventh round stoppage the way it was. Because Colin Smith,
it was like, eighth round, but yeah.
Was it eighth round? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't think many of us thought that Colin Smith would lose in the manner that he did. I mean, like you said, his last loss was a unanimous decision to Canelo, so he looked like he could be able to stand that. Now, is this a testament to how great of a fighter Archer is, or is it just one of those things where it's just kind of like Callum just had a bad night and we shouldn't think much into it?
No, this has everything to do with how phenomenal Artur Beterbiev, Beterbiev, however you want to say it, how awesome that man is, which is the reason why the Bivol and Smith fight, I mean not Smith, Bivol and Beterbiev fight is so intriguing. Producer, if you can go back to the one where they're both on their knees in the ring. So this shot, and whoever took it, absolutely phenomenal. This shot is literally the joy of victory and the agony of defeat. You got Beterbiev being so happy that he won, faces to the ground. He's Muslim. He could be praying, but I don't think so, because whenever they pray, they use the rugs. I think he was just happy. And you got Smith looking like, I can't believe it. I mean, he had to be destroyed. I mean, he was destroyed in the ring, and then he was destroyed emotionally because he's never been dropped and he's never been stopped. And he talked about possible retirement after the fight. Now, granted, right after a fight is not a good time to talk to fighters because they're all in their emotions. But the way that Canelo beat him, and now with how Beterbiev has beat him, it might be time to hang it up.
Well, I mean, if it is, I mean, it's definitely a great career. He's not a slouch of a fighter. We always talk about the fact of, you know, losses don't, you can't always say losses define fighters, because these gentlemen get into ring, these ladies and gentlemen get into rings all the time with the ability to either knock someone out or be knocked out. So you can never talk down on them. An amazing fighter. I hope he doesn't retire and that he continues and he comes back swinging. But that was definitely a great fight. And it looks like 2024 is going to put on some great slugfest this year that we finally get to see. Or just superstar fights in general, which is actually leading us to our next fight. Now, Ryan Garcia, over the last probably few months, has kind of been in a transition period. I mean, you know, after the loss to Gervonta Davis, he recently changed his name. He has kind of gone through almost a metamorphosis. I mean, now he's training with Floyd Mayweather, and he went from talking about fighting Devin Haney to now fighting Rolly Romero in what will be a huge bout. However, as normal for Ryan Garcia's camp, it's not coming without drama. Enter Floyd Mayweather. Mayweather shared a post basically promoting the fight between Ryan and Rolly over the past week. And in it, he's drawn the ire of Oscar De La Hoya. Now, Oscar and Floyd, they are no strangers to one another. We've seen the battles that those two have had inside and outside of the ring. And Ryan is upset because Ryan feels like not only is Floyd influencing Ryan, but he feels like he's overstepping his boundaries. He has some words for him that we really can't share here on the main card, but you can go read it for yourself. Now, this is a big fight, Voice. With all that's going on and the complications of it, what exactly are we seeing here? Is Floyd literally just kind of being a mentor to Ryan after everything that, you know, happened with Golden Boy Promotions? Or should we be looking into this as a bigger thing?
So, is he being a mentor to Ryan? Yes, he is. Let's not forget, though, he does not fight in the ring professionally anymore. It's all as an exhibition. He's still a fighter. He is still a fighter, and he still wants to win regardless of what it is. He's just trying to win in the promotional aspect right now. Ryan is seemingly, and I want to parse my words carefully, depending on who he's with, who he's around, those people have a lot of influence on him. So when he was with Canelo, or I should say in Canelo's camp, a lot of influence. Now that he's, you know, doing some stuff with Mayweather fighters and PBC, you know, fighters, because he's training with Derrick James and training with a lot of his fighters, which are PBC fighters. You see him being, you know, influenced a bit more. Now you going on runs with Floyd, you know, and being influenced. But it's we talked about this a bit last week. It's about the money, man. Producer, you can go back to the slides. Let's talk about this. So on this one, which is a little hard for me to see, but I can tell you, this is the Mayweather promotion site. You have Rolly Romero listed there as someone who fights for Mayweather promotion. So does it make sense to say, hey, why don't you fight this guy that's under me? Yeah. And if you go to the other slide with Rolly on it, yes, that's a much better one. So now they do need to update their site. I was being kind. I cut out their mistakes. But, you know, PBC and Mayweather Promotions, if you're watching this, please update the site, because some stuff on there is not right. Anyway, Rolly is a Mayweather Promotions fighter. So it will make sense for him to say, hey, fight my guy. Now, I have to agree, this is a bigger fight than if he fought Devin Haney right now, because of the cachet that Rolly has. And not just the cachet, he has a belt. And Ryan has the opportunity to actually beat him. Where if he fights Devin Haney, we pretty much know how that's going to happen. So tuning into that, it's like, okay, whatever. Yeah, you are with 3-3 in amateurs. Yeah, but this ain't the amateurs. He fights Rolly, has a good fight. That lifts his star power that much more. It also shows his ability to pull as far as pay-per-view is concerned, because Ryan did well with Tank. Haney has never done anything pay-per-view-wise. So he does this on his own, not with Tank. He can say, look, this is what I did with Tank. This is what I did without Tank. Which is however much more than what you do with whoever it is you fight. And I have a belt. It just makes it much bigger if Ryan is victorious.
I mean, it almost sounds like a foregone conclusion depending on who you ask, because most people, like you said, most people said it before, Ryan Garcia brings the crowd. You know, whether you like him or not, no matter what you think about him as a fighter, he brings the crowd to it. A win would be amazing for him. Now, I know we got to wrap it up, but I want to ask you one more thing before we end this. Let's say Ryan wins this. He wins in convincing fashion. He gets the belt. Where does he go after that?
Well, then he goes and fights Haney, because that then becomes a huge fight. It's a title, unifier. They already have the history and the backstory. It just makes that fight, if and when made, that much bigger.
Awesome. Thank you for that voice. And we're going to take a quick break with Ozell Brand. Get you some sponsorship love here. When we come back, we got some really great fights, including UFC 297 and a women's bantamweight championship bout. Awesome. We'll be right back.
It's not just about the love of the game. It's about dedication and commitment through the process and the patience to endure. There's joy in reaching your goals, and peace in knowing you've done all you're supposed to do. Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle.
Awesome. Shout out to our sponsors. Make sure you're visiting. They're in our local Walmart stores. You know, Voice got his on at all times, so make sure you visit them. Shout out to Ozell Brand here. Now, Voice, let's go ahead and get into it, because UFC 297 is going to be big. And as we get closer, the UFC middleweight championship bout that's going to take place on January 20th at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto between Sean Strickland and Steel Knox aka DDP. I'm not about to try to say that whole man's name because Duplessis, you say it too many times and you mess it up. Now, the personal shots have not only become more intense, but downright personal to the point that Strickland recently threatened bodily harm to DDP if he crosses the line before the two meet in the cage. Now, this comes after comments that was made by the South African about Strickland's childhood that triggered the champ and left him angered, causing a brawl at UFC 296. Now, Strickland recently said it on his personal YouTube. I actually sent him a message. Dude, listen, we're gonna go try to murder each other, but if you bring that up again, I will stab you. Wow. Press conference, weigh in. He was cool about it. I'm telling you, I don't want to fight you. I'm not saying you're not a good fighter. I'm just saying that's a line that when crossed, it transcends fighting. If I go to Canada and you bring that up, guess what? I'm going to jail. They're going to deport me, and we spend 8 weeks of training for no reason. Now, in response, DDP stated, I'll be ready for whatever. He tries with me. When I go to these press conferences, I never plan, oh, I'm going to say this or I'm going to say that. Listen, that's not the way that it happens. It was on the spot. I think it's going to be a lot more civil, but maybe because he might come out guns blazing, but who knows? But I think it'll be a lot more civil in my mind. The first press conference was just joking around. That's what made me have a lot of fun, and I'm not in that zone anymore. I'm in the fight zone now, and I'm ready to go. He said, I'm here to win a title, and I'm not here to make jokes. Now, DDP continued on to state. He said, listen, if you're dishing it out, you got to be able to take it, and I stated facts. He said, obviously, it had a massive effect on him, and I hammer something home, but there's no animosity towards him. Now, both men, they literally come in meaning business with big wins and a win streak to match. Now, DDP is a winner of his last eight, is coming off a TKO win over Robert Whittaker, and that was actually in the title eliminator. Meanwhile, Strickland, a winner of his last three bouts, recently defeated a popular person here on the main card, Izzy, for the championship. And won
popular person, period. Get it right.
I don't want to hear that. He defeated him for the championship and won performance of the night at UFC Vegas 76. Voice, this is almost WWE style talking that they're doing here. And they're getting real aggressive, as you saw at UFC 296 in that brawl. What are your thoughts here? And how much of an effect do you think that this is going to have on Sean Strickland when they get into the cage?
My thoughts are that this makes what was a meh fight really, really interesting. And the question is, how will this impact impact Strickland? Because it really has hurt him, you know, like, and he was on Theo Vaughn's podcast not too long ago, and he talked about it, and he talked about the fact that he doesn't believe in God because of the abuse that he suffered. Now, granted, he said his father did not sexually abuse him, but the physical abuse and the emotional abuse that both he and his mother suffered has really impacted him in life. Now, I feel DDP in that if you can't take it, don't dish it. And Sean has said some really outlandish things, but I can't think of anything outlandish that he said about someone specific or a different fighter. He'll say things about people in general, but I can't remember him bringing up stuff like this about another fighter. I also feel Sean in that you can say stuff and you can say some outlandish stuff, but when you speak about certain things, there are consequences, and people have gotten too comfortable saying stuff that get you slapped up because of this Twitter and internet culture. And that's what Sean did. He's like, I slapped you up. And it won't just be slapping up. I'm letting you know now. I'm going to jail. I'm being deported. I'm never going to be able to fight in Canada again if you say something about this. And I get it. Like I said, when he was on Theo Vaughn's podcast, not only did he, you know, speak about how this caused him not to believe in God, he wept uncontrollably. Like, he just stopped. He broke down sobbing. That sobbing caused Theo Von to cry. So this is really a sensitive subject that can do one of two things. That can cause you to lose all control, or it can light a fire under you that causes you to be victorious. That is really the bottom line and the underlying story regarding this fight. How will this drama play out when they get in the cage?
Yeah, it's not unnormal for fighters to go back and forth and talk, you know, and talk in a crazy manner about each other, but you never see it get that deep to that point. I think maybe you can consider what Jake Paul and Nate Diaz and how personal that got. I mean, father got punched in the face in that one. But I still don't think it's as deep as what's going on here. And that's one of those things where, you know, you definitely hope that the fighters are able to not only contain themselves, but just in the bigger picture that Sean Strickland is able to get, you know, the help and support that he needs. Because I saw that Theo Von interview also, and it was deep. Like, it's one of those things where if you get an opportunity to watch it, you kind of have to pause for a minute because his reactions when he's explaining that were rough. So definitely hoping that the two can kind of get, you know, get into the cage and they can leave it into the cage, and also understand that there are limits. You can only disrespect a man but so much before something happens. So that's going to be the headliner for UFC 297. And it could also spark some a great fight later, because I know they talked about the winner of that fight and who they could potentially be seeing after that. So definitely looking forward to that. Hopefully nothing happens outside of that. But it's one of, you know, two fights, the co-mainliner in that, co-headliner in that also is going to be the UFC Women's Bantamweight Championship. Now, with the retirement of the great Amanda Nunes came that vacant championship, and while it may be difficult to replicate the career of Nunes, Raquel Pennington and Mayra Bueno Silva are going to meet to determine who will take her place at the top of that division. Now, in the buildup, Mayra is not only looking to separate herself from the Pack Boys, but through her comments leading up to the bout, she's literally looking to do so in a knockout fashion. And during a recent interview, Mayra stated, "She's very tough and I respect everything she's done, but now is my moment. I will knock her out." She even predicted maybe a second round knockout. She said, "I've trained hard and I don't have any knockout wins in the UFC, only submissions. But I believe now is my time and I'm ready to knock her out." And she went on to actually go and speak on Raquel's fight against Amanda. She said, "Do you remember when Raquel fought against Amanda? I'm done. I don't want any more of this fight. For this reason, I'm confident she don't want to fight. She doesn't like to fight. And in the first round, when I punch her hard, she'll talk again. I don't want to fight. I think she doesn't have courage. She doesn't like to fight, but I do like to fight." Now, while Shatara has made a number of statements through the media, Rocky, on the other hand, instead is literally continuing to focus on the bout. And she's coming into the championship opportunity, winning her last five bouts, with her last loss actually being a decision to Holly Holm at UFC 246. Now, ironically, Silva's last win was against Holm in a win that earned Silva her second consecutive performance of the night. But of course, we know that was later overturned due to a flag drug test. Now, Royce, Amanda Nunes is the GOAT. We can't talk about anybody possibly replacing her completely out of respect. But Mayra Bueno Silva is speaking as though she's not only ready to take over the division, but that she's ready to make the division hers and make us forget about Amanda. What do you think about her statements going into this bout? And what should we be looking into this bout between the two? Because Rocky hasn't really said much.
I like, I'm going to say MBS. Well, I can say Mayra. I can say Bueno and Silva, but I'm going to say MBS. Anyway, I like the fire that she's bringing. And she's really been kind of spicy ever since the lead up to the fight with Holm. She was talking big then too. So I like that, because you want to see personality in your fighters, specifically your champions. So for her to do this, all of this bodes well for her, because if successful, then, you know, that just helps to put her over even more. Now, what is interesting about the method of victory is that's really not your cup of tea. She's, you know, a phenomenal BJJ practitioner. Of her wins, 75% of them, 75% of them, or I should say about 80%, actually, I take that back. 80% of her wins are by way of stoppage. She's like, I haven't knocked anybody out in the UFC. You only knocked out one person in your career, man. So, you know, so for you to say that you're going to knock her out, that's interesting, because that's really not what you do. Whereas Rocky's main discipline is boxing. So it doesn't make sense if you're trying to be victorious to go in there and stand with her. Does Rocky knock anybody out? No, she doesn't. Like 75% of her wins go the distance. Like she very, very rarely, and I say wins, just fights in general. She very rarely stops anyone for anything. You know, maybe as a crossing guard at a child's school, she stops people, but in a cage, not so much. Her saying that is just interesting, because that's not really the way that she normally wins a fight. Mm-hmm. I look forward to seeing it. That doesn't sound wise to me, but hey, you know, do what you do. And that this may be a bit of gamesmanship as well, mm-hmm. to cause her to think, I'm going to strike with you, to open her up for the takedown so that she can win. You know, it brings a different wrinkle to this. One thing I will say about Myra Buena Silva is that you got to be pretty doggone good to pop positive for Ritalin. And I mean, not granted, she may need the Ritalin because she has ADHD or ADD or something with a D. I don't know. But for you to pop positive and your very next fight be for the title, that says a lot. That says a lot. Where Rocky got here the hard way, she had to win 5 times in a row because they didn't want to give her a title fight, because she is not, she doesn't have much of a personality, or at least she doesn't display much of a personality. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one turns out.
Yes, it's definitely going to be interesting. I personally don't see any knockouts happening. Myra hasn't had a knockout win. Like you said, her last one was 2016. That was her flyweight debut. So I really don't see that happening. And on top of that, Rocky is basically a decision fighter. So we might get to see a lot of skills in that bout, but I don't expect, if we do see it, you'll definitely know that you saw it here on the main card. So make sure you tune in. That's going to be on UFC 297 also. Now, finally, wrapping up the weekend, we have another great women's bout. Now, since her 2021 loss to Katie Taylor, Natasha Jonas has been on a 5-bout win streak and has been on a journey of literally collecting title belts like Thanos. Now, the number 6 pound-for-pound women's boxer now faces her next biggest test when she faces the number 11th ranked Michaela Mayer, and that's going to be for the IBF welterweight title. Now, she'll be doing so in her backyard of Liverpool. This is going to happen on January 20th with the bout streaming on ESPN Plus in the U.S., it's going to be on Sky Sports in the UK. Now, Mayer is hoping to play spoiler in Jonas's backyard and become champion. And with the 19-1 record, she has only tasted defeat once. And if you remember, that was in that highly anticipated bout with Alicia Baumgartner in 2022, who was also in the news a lot lately with Clarissa Shields. I'm hoping we get to cover that one. Michaela said, this is a big fight. You definitely have that big fight feel, but these are the fights that I want to be in. I want the name Natasha Jonas. I want to be in her hometown, and I want to be in a huge arena like the M&S Bank Arena. I want the spotlight because I feel like that brings out the best in me. Now, win by Mayer would automatically trigger a contractual rematch, and this is actually something that Michaela has stated she's ready for. During her interview, she stated, I've got to beat Natasha Jonas twice. That's my main focus. Now, she'll be doing so literally after moving up to 147 pounds. Now, this is actually something where she's actually previously fought, I believe, at 130. So, but she stated it's a place where she feels comfortable. One of the things she stated was, I am a lot more natural at this weight. I think a lot of people are taken aback by how big I look, because what they don't understand is it took a big toll on my body to keep cutting down to an unnatural weight at 130. Cutting all the way down and fluctuating in between and having such an extreme, that does a lot to the body and the hormones. And this is the first time I have allowed myself to have that weight on and also build muscle. Now, Natasha Jonas, meanwhile, she's completely confident going into the Bob Voice. She's confident so much so that when she talked about the comparison between her and Mayer, she stated, Michaela does everything that I do. I just think I do it better than she does. She's got a good boxing IQ. She's got good footwork. She's good at hand speed, and she puts her shots together well. But I just think everything she does, I'm better. And I know she's bigger in stature. But when we're talking about strength, I don't think she'll be physically stronger than her last fight with Dakar. Now, when we're talking about work rate, I probably equal that to Terry Harper. And there's no one I haven't fought like that. So, Voice, these two are, they're coming in, I'm not going to say respectful, because Natasha Jonas just basically said, listen, I'm a step ahead of her. But it's going to be a great bout. What are we looking for in this bout? And what do you think about Michaela actually moving up to that weight and being comfortable there?
Before we get into those things, I know we got a lot of comments. What's good? Miles, are you come through with something? Who is Jesse?
Hey, that's a friend of mine from high school.
All right. What's up, Jesse? Just want to acknowledge everybody who's chiming in and encourage you all. Tell us who you think is going to win in these fights and how. We want to know. Going 20-1. Okay, who's 20-1? I mean, who's going to be 20-1? Talking about Mayer. Okay. All right. I like that, Miles. Okay. I ain't mad. I don't think that's going to happen, but I ain't mad. So, here's why. I like how Mayer's talking about, this is more natural and so forth and so on. And that could play into things. But the fact that she's been cutting down and most of her career has been at like 130 says a lot. You know, you're getting older now. Now, granted, fighting at a heavyweight, getting older makes sense, but you've done a lot of damage to your body over the years, getting down to what you say now is a weight lower than what you should have been fighting at. So, you know, how does that play out? This is the fourth weight class that she's fought in as many fights. Like, she fought at 130, then up to 135, 140, and now at 147 in the last four fights, and all of them have been in the UK as well, which is very interesting. I don't know how this is going to turn out. And Mayer, as far as the strength aspect is concerned, she may feel stronger. Let's see how that translates, because honestly, if you're cutting down below where you should be, that means you should have more power than the person that you're fighting against. And of her 19 fights, Michaela's only stopped 5 people. So it's, she can do it. That's right, Miles. She can do it. Anything is possible. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but anything is possible. Natasha Jonas, and let me say this. I love Mayer's mindset. I got to beat her twice. That's excellent, because that shows that she's really focused on getting the job done and knows what is at hand. You know, Jonas talked about, you know, I may be shorter, but I'm stronger, and her KO rate proves that. She has 9 KOs in her 17 fights, so much higher KO percentage in a shorter, or I should say fewer fights, than what Mayer has had. And she's also been fighting at these heavier weight classes for longer. She's fought 4-1 the super welterweight title. Now, granted, she was on like at 149 when she fought for it. So being at 147 really seems like the sweet spot in like her actual weight. You know, so yeah, the mayor, Jonas, I like how she's talking. I think she's being respectful. She's just saying how she feels. She didn't talk about child abuse like Dragus Du Plessis did, you know, and then things of that nature. So I think she's being respectful. She's just saying, I'm going to whoop you respectfully.
Yeah, but she giving her Big Daddy Kane talk. She basically saying like, yo, you all right, but like you ain't me. Like, how respectful can you be there?
That's very respectful. You know, I think you're an excellent fighter, but you're not as excellent as I am. Whatever you do, I can do better. And you do things well. You do things real well. I'm just better than you. That's respectful. That's, woo, that gets me excited, actually.
I mean, I get it. At the same time, while I kind of agree with you, I do feel like Natasha Jonas is going to come out of this victorious. It's hard to bet against Mayor, especially considering the fact that, like you said, I mean, you know, in all her wins, she's not winning by knockouts, but she is consistently winning even when she's moving around. And I know we talk about her weight, but she's only 33, so she still has time to find that perfect weight so that she can just kind of go and just tear through people. But I'm kind of in agreement with you. Natasha Jonas is on another tear. I personally believe if she gets another shot at Katie Taylor, that she could win. You don't think so?
That's a tall task. Honestly, at 39, mm-hmm. this could be her last fight.
Well, there you have it. That's a if we come back next week, that's breaking news. We got to make sure we come to that. We got to get you a Miss Cleo hat and So we'll definitely see. Do not pay attention to that comment because Jesse don't even watch boxing. So
whether he watches it or not, he read up. He did his homework, so I ain't mad.
It's a she.
I'm so sorry. I can't see the picture. I saw the way it was spelled, and I wasn't sure if it was male or female. So please forgive me, Miss Jess.
Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. She's going to start. She's going to tune in every week to the main card. That's what the main card is for. It's to get you ready for the fights that are coming up so that you can speak intelligibly about them when you're talking to other people. But you already off to a great start, Jesse. I like you. I like it a lot.
I'm not gassing that up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. He's just ordered the Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. We just wanted to get you prepared for this weekend's bouts. Make sure that you follow The Voice on Twitter or X, wherever you call it, at The Voice, so that you can make sure that you follow his comments, because you know everything he says is going to be spicy. He gave some great insight last weekend on the bouts also, in that Smith better be of about also. So make sure you follow and listen to that. Voice, give us your last words and the last bout that we should be looking for.
So some news broke today that really we could have covered doing KOs on Low Blows, but we just didn't have the time. PFL versus Bellator, the card has been made. It's going to take place in Riyadh. I mean, Riyadh is like, look, it's fight season 24/7, 365. Outside of maybe Ramadan, that's the only time it's not fight season. But outside of that, you can get these hands. So that's going to take place there, which actually makes that fight feel a little bit bigger. So I'm really looking forward to that. And maybe we'll talk about that more so next week as far as the lineup is concerned and the people that are fighting. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. The fight this week, though, in Canada. They've got lots of Canadian fighters on it. 8 out of the 12 fights feature Canadians, including Charles Jourdain. Go back a slide for me, producer. Charles Jourdain, who's facing St. Louis's own Sean Woodson. Talk about boxing. That boy can box. You know, so you know I always have an interest in fights where St. Louis, Nigerians, and or both are going. Hey, that's what's up, Apples. Right on. Now, if I were to have a Voices marquee matchup, mm-hmm. it would be the fight that's on the next slide, which is Arnold Almighty Allen facing off against Mozar Evloev. Now, talked about all the Canadians on this card. Arnold is out of the UK, but he trains out of TriStar, so he's Canadian by way of training. And Evloev is undefeated. And if Allen had not fought against the GOATs or the GOAT 1B of the featherweight division and Max Holloway, he'd still be undefeated. He'd probably be fighting for a title next. You know, but Max stops everybody except for Volkanovski. So this fight is really important for both of these fighters. Should be a banger. And the winner very well should be in line for a title fight next.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for the insight voice. With that red light, you see, it means the fight is over. Welcome to another. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Main Card. Every Tuesday, 7:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is Smoke Clock. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for watching. MTMVPN.com. Make sure that you visit the website. We got everything you need. Come and meet us. Come and get to know us. Check out our site. If you have not, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Also, if you have a moment on your favorite podcast network, please make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. Take us wherever you go. So if you can't see these handsome faces, you can definitely hear the voices. Like they say, great voice, great delivery, and all that. Make sure you also check out the articles on the website. Also, make sure that you share those. We appreciate everything you all do, all the support that you provide us. Voice, take us out, sir.
Until next time, fight the good fight.
What's going on, family? It's your man, Wildress.
And it's your man, the myth, the legend, the voice.
And you just finished watching the Main Card on the MTMV network.
Yeah, for more great shows just like this, smash the subscribe button and keep fighting a good fight.